Hey, what a great Monday night crowd. Hey, we've already seen a miracle tonight that this many people can make it here in DC traffic by 7:15. Amen. Good to see all of you. I want to begin. Tonight was really highlighting Temple Baptist School, and I would like to do something for just a moment. If you are in this auditorium and you are a student, whether it's K-5 all the way through 12th grade, if you are a student of TBS, would you stand right now? Let's see. All the students. Wow. Look at that. Let's give them a hand. That is great. Wow. Super group tonight. Thank you so much. Thank you. You may be seated. If you claim those that just stood and you are here tonight and you are a mom, a dad, or a grandparent of a child at Temple Baptist School, would you stand? Everyone, you're a mom, dad, or a grandparent tonight. Isn't that, Pastor, what a great crowd. Amen. You guys remain standing for just a minute. No. Moms, dads, grandparents, you stay standing for just a moment. I have been involved with Christian education for almost my entire ministry life, which is about 38, 39 years. And I want you to know, I am sold on Christian education. There was a statement that I heard years ago, and it just didn't sound right when I heard it. And I said, no, that's not true. And today, I believe that that statement is more wrong today than ever before. I had someone, an educator, stood up and said this: thank you, moms and dads, for sacrificing by sending your child to Christian school. Moms and dads, it is not a sacrifice to send your child to Christian school. It is an investment. And I want to tell you, moms and dads, I know some of you say, no, it's a sacrifice financially. No, it's not. It is an investment that you're giving into your life of your child. You know, you think about everything that's going on in our world today. You know what? The boys and girls, the young people of this Christian school every day pledge allegiance to the flag. They learn patriotism. They learn courtesy. They learn that God is their creator. They learn, besides all of the academics, what you're spending. You're saying, boy, I'm going to tell you, it makes our budget so tight. You are not sacrificing, mom and dad. You are investing in the next generation that we need so badly. And moms and dads, I know many of you in here tonight, you don't even go here to church, but you send your children here. Thank you for doing that. And I will tell you, you're sending your children. If I lived in this area, I have three sons. They're all old now, okay? But if I had my three boys and they were school age, they would be at Temple Baptist School. That's where they would be going. Thank you very much. Let's give these parents a big round of applause. Thank you so much. Yesterday, I said, when talking about the message for tonight, and I wasn't for sure what I was going to preach, and I think I said that, Lord willing, that I was going to preach a message tonight that I believe is the key to the Christian life. I believe it's absolutely true for every young person that's in here tonight. And I'm glad the young people are here, and I know they're going to behave themselves really well. By the way, there is someone else to thank tonight. We have a fourth grade teacher that made the dinner for all of her children in her class, and for all the parents, and for all the faculty here, and for me. And so I want to thank her. Miss Lyons, would you stand up for a minute? Thank you for doing that. That was great. I felt I was at one of my favorite places, Chipotle, tonight. I'm telling you, that was a lot better than Chipotle. That was really, really good. But you know, I told them yesterday at church, I said, I want to speak tonight on what I believe is the greatest key to the Christian life. And I really do. I think we have lost this in our Christianity today. I've entitled the message, just two words, it's a real simple title, All In. All In. Would y'all help me with the title of my message? What is it?
All In.
Okay, you didn't sound like you were all in there. Okay, can I hear the title of my message?
All In.
all in. I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50 is a messianic prophecy about our Lord Jesus Christ. And the writer of Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes a passage referring to the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, if you please. And this is a messianic prophecy that was written hundreds of years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. Now, let me tell you, first of all, we are not reading from any normal book tonight. We don't have USA Today in front of us or Newsweek magazine. We're not pulling up an app on the news today or any secular book. What you hold in your hand or you share with someone tonight is a book that is divinely authored by God. You know, this book is my GPS in order to get to heaven. In order to get to church or to get here, maybe some of you that were visiting, I have a friend here tonight that had to put in his GPS on how to get here. And he looked on his computer and he punched in the address and he found out how to get here. Let me tell you, this is my GPS on how to get to heaven. I will not know how to get to heaven unless I follow the GPS of the Word of God. This, by the way, is what the boys and girls, the young people of TBS hear every day. They hear an absolute authority from the Word of God. One of the ways that I know that the Bible is God's Word is fulfilled prophecies. Do you know that there's 233 prophecies about the Messiah that was completely fulfilled in Jesus Christ? 233 prophetic statements in the Old Testament that Jesus fulfilled. We're looking at one of them right now in Isaiah chapter 50. By the way, just in case you forgot, what's the name of my message tonight?
All in.
Ooh, that was good. All right. Well, I want to first of all begin by telling you who was all in for me. And I want to tell you who was all in for you. I could use, I believe, scores of passages to show how Christ was all in the redemption of mankind. He didn't do it halfway. He was all in. But I chose this passage. There's so many others that could have been picked, but I choose this one to show you a concept of Christ being all in what he did. Hundreds of years. By the way, the reason why I chose a prophetic passage was, think about this. Before he entered into humanity in a little lonely village called Bethlehem and being born in a manger, he already knew what he was going to do. He is God. He is omniscient. He is not bound by time, but he entered time as a little babe in a manger. And he is the Son of God. And he knew what was ahead. But notice this passage. It's fulfilled in Luke chapter 9, verse 51. But let's look at Isaiah 50, verse 5. If you're sitting next to someone that doesn't have a copy of the scriptures, would you share your copy with them? Verse number 5, it says this. The Lord God hath opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. God told me what to do. God the Father's will. In Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord God had opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now look at this. I gave my back to the smiters. I want you to know tonight that the Son of God was beaten because of your sin and because of my sin. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Folks, understand this. Jesus died on that cross, not as an example of how to live, but as a substitute for all of us who have sinned. Every one of us in this room have thought things, said things, and done things that are contrary to the Word of God. Jesus Christ took on him the penalty of every one of your sins. And he was beaten on that cross. He suffered because of your sin and because of mine. You're looking at a sinner preaching to you tonight. And I'm looking at a room full of sinners as well. Jesus Christ took our place. Notice what he did for us. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. It was prophesied that his beard would be plucked out. You know, some people think, well, Jesus knew all these prophecies and he tried to fulfill them. How could he have fulfilled this? They plucked his beard off. And that is what this was prophesied. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. But this is our text tonight I want you to see. For the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. I'm not going to be double-minded. I'm not going to be confused about this. Therefore, have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. You know what Christ did? He says, I'm all in on this. There's no turning back. I am giving my body to be beaten, to be smitten. I am giving my life for mankind. I am not doing this halfway, well, okay, I'll do this for mankind. No. I set my face as a flint, like a rock. And I am saying, I am all in. Now, here's the most important statement of the night. My friends, if Jesus Christ is all in for Jim Shetler, then the only thing that I can do is be all in for my Savior. If God gave me his all, then at least he deserves back my all as well. I'm going to tell you this. Our culture is so against being all in. The Christian life doesn't work halfway. It just doesn't work. There were 3 million Jews that learned that the hard way, friend. They were saved out of Egypt. Moses led them out of bondage, out of Egypt, which is, I believe, is a picture of our salvation. They go through the Red Sea. They travel a few weeks up to the promised land where God had promised them that land. But they said, ooh, we're like grasshoppers. They're like giants in there. Oh, God promised us the land, but we cannot take that land. And for 40 years, they do what I believe a lot of Christians live their life. They live halfway. They're out of Egypt. They're saved. But they are not living the victorious Christian life in the promised land. They're living halfway. And I'm telling you something. The Christian life was not able, it was not created to live halfway. If you do it, you do it with all of your might and you're all in. We have a lot of young people in here. They're watching what Christianity looks like. And Christianity to them looks like, well, whatever you do, you don't commit everything to God. You just kind of do a little bit here. You do a little religious thing. You do a little church thing. You do a little bit here. You do a little bit there. But you don't go all the way. Well, young people, I just want to tell you this. The Christian life will be the most unhappy life you ever live. Yeah, it will. If you only live it halfway. You got to be all in. Now, let me say this to you. And I don't know who's all here tonight. But you have to trust him all the way in order to be saved. You see, a lot of people today are trying to add other things to their salvation. Okay, well, I trust the Lord. I do believe he died for me. But I got to live a good life. And I got to do church things and I got to give to the poor and I got to live a good life because you know what? I know Jesus did this, but I got to do my part. My friend, that's not the way salvation works. You got to be all in. You got to trust Christ. As far as I know, I've been here several times, but as far as I know, I have never in my life sat in this chair. I think I've sat down there a couple times, but I don't know, these may have been moved around a little bit. But as far as I know, I have never sat in this chair. Now, let me tell you something. I'm going to sit in this chair in just a second. And I'm sitting in this chair all in. Brother Scheller, how much do you weigh? None of your business. Brother Scheller, are you sure that chair is going to hold me up, hold you up? No, I'm not. But I'm going to tell you this. I am absolutely going to be all. I got to tell you, I'm all in, and the chair somewhat cooperated with me, okay? I don't know what that little crank. That is not that funny, son. You know what? I jumped in this chair, and it cracked. But I will tell you this. I am all in this chair. Now, I'll tell you what will not crack is your salvation. And my friend, I want to tell you this. If you're here tonight and you have never completely trusted in Christ. I have three sons. My youngest son just got married out in Colorado. And he's 25 years old. And I got to tell you something. Old Drew had been in a couple relationships. He broke a couple hearts. And then the girl that he married, he broke up with once. And I'll never forget Brother Ibsen, his now father-in-law, said to him, when he came back and asked Brother Ibsen, can I date your daughter again? I really believe she's the one. He gave him some good advice to my son, and I appreciated it. He said, let me just tell you something, Drew. We think the world of you, but I will tell you this. You're not hurting my daughter's heart again. If you mean business, he didn't say these exact words, but this is exactly what he meant. If you're all in, she's yours with our blessing. We would love for you to be our son-in-law. But I'm going to tell you something. You need to decide this time, this is it. I remember Drew called me up. I said, so what did Mr. Ibsen say when you asked him again? If you could start dating his daughter again. He said, boy, Dad. He said, I better mean it this time. And I said, you know what? You're right. And on September 1st, in Vail, Colorado, Drew said, I do, till death do us part. He got all in, man. Marriage has got to be all in. You can't come halfway to marriage. You got to be all in marriage. It does not work 50%. If you're getting married, you better be all in. And if you're getting saved, you better be all in. It is not on you at all. You completely trust in Jesus Christ and you're all in. If you're here tonight and you have never trusted in Christ, can I encourage you to do something tonight? Get all in. And just say, you know what, Lord? I have believed in Christ. I have thought that he died for me. But I have never trusted him. I have never been all in. If you've never done that, let me encourage you. In this service tonight, get all in. But I will tell you, after you try. By the way, if you're saved here tonight, and you know Christ is your Savior, you were all in for Jesus. I don't care if you were 6 years old. You said, you know what? I believe Jesus is my Savior. You were all in. If you were 16 or if you were 60, you were all in order to get saved. Now, let me tell you, the way that you got saved is the way you got to live the Christian life. Now, we're into the message pretty far, but I still want to pray right now because I want to share a couple things with you that are so important. Father, I need your help tonight. And I think people have listened very well already. But Father, this is the concept that every believer, every teenager needs to get a hold of this tonight. Every adult, every senior saint that's here tonight. Father, if there is somebody here tonight that has never trusted you, may they get all in. May they say, you know what, tonight is the night I am trusting Christ as my Savior and I'm going to be all in. I believe Christ died for me. I believe Christ took my place, and I'm going to be all in. But Father, I also pray for the believers that are in this room. Many of them have been saved for years, but they're not all in. There are teenagers in here tonight that could be an example to everyone tonight. Say, you know what? I'm doing this all the way. I am not going to live my Christian life halfway. I am all in. And Father, what an example we had in your Son. Jesus Christ was all in for us. Now, Father, teach us how to be all in for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, I was traveling years ago with an ensemble, not as a musical person, but as a preacher. We were in southern Illinois. And that night we stayed in a family that had five boys. They were Joshua, Samuel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Five boys. Can you imagine? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The next day we got up early, they had a swimming pool. Really nice swimming pool. Nice diving board at the end. And those five boys were like little acrobat boys. The oldest one was about 19, and the youngest one was probably about 12 years of age, maybe about 10 or 11. And they were just all little gymnasts, you know. And they would do all these little flips off the diving board. And they were doing these half gainers, where they would get back, they would run, jump off the thing, and then just like step right over themselves and into the water. And I said, boy, that is the coolest thing in the world. So I'm in the shallow end, and I'm kind of practicing. You know, I'm kind of practicing this thing. And Chad comes over to me and he says, Jim, you gonna try a half gainer? Yeah, I think I'm gonna try one. I mean, it looks really cool what you guys are doing. Now I'm about 19, 20 at that point, and you know, I'm a pretty good little athlete, and I'm thinking I can do this, you know. Chad says something to me, he says, hey Jim, I just gotta tell you something about a half gainer. You can't go halfway on a half gainer. You gotta go all the way. Once you hit the diving board and you decide to go, you got to go. I said, I got it, man, I got it. So I get way back by the chain link fence, and I'm looking down there, and it's about where the, you know, right about the length of this little path here. And I said, okay, I got this. And they're all cheering for me. Go, Jim, go. And they're all saying, remember now, all the way. I got this. And I take off. And man, I come running down, and I just coming right to the cement part, and I come to the diving board, and I hit that diving board really well, and I get a nice little spring, and I start doing my half gainer. And I start going halfway over, and as I'm going halfway over, I'm thinking, I don't think I'm going to make it. Oh, bad idea. Because as I started going halfway over, and I started doubting, and started thinking, I don't think I'm going to make it, I hit and slapped my back on that water, and when I hit that water, I just went under the water. And all those guys came out, and I'll never forget what happens. I knew I have to come up for air at some point. My back is, and I know I got to come up. I come up out of the water, and every one of those five boys and my two other ensemble guys are yelling at me, man, you got to go all the way. You got to go all the way. Man, you can't go halfway. Jim, what happened? I didn't go all the way. And let me tell you something. You are going to do it. It wasn't a belly flop, okay? It was a back flop. But I am going to tell you this. You have got to go all the way in Christianity. It doesn't work. Try living the Christian life. Try taking a promise and going, well, I'm going to claim part of the promise. It doesn't work. You have got to go all the way. So what does it mean? What does it mean to go all the way? I want to tell you, first of all, what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, so if you go all the way for Christ, it means you ain't going to have any fun in life, right? I mean, if you do this, if you go the whole thing, okay, I'm going to live for God. He did save me. He created me. I'm going to do the thing for God. That takes care of the fun in life. Can I just tell you something tonight, Temple Baptist? The greatest joy, the most enjoyment, and I'm telling you right now, the most F-U-N you will ever have is living for God all the way. I want you to know, friend, you are not giving up fun tonight because you're going to be all in. Well, he's probably going to call me to some mission field, or if I go all in tonight, boy, that means this is going to happen in my life, and then I'm going to have to probably give up this. Can I tell you tonight, you don't give up anything to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do not give up fun. I've had more fun in my life than you could ever imagine. I'm 60 years old, and I'm telling you, I've had a ball. And you know why? It's because when I was 19 years old at an old-fashioned altar, I said, God, I'm all in. I'm going to not live this Christian life halfway. I'm telling you, you're not looking at a person that has many abilities and talents. I wasn't good academically. I have no musical ability. I wasn't a very good athlete. You can look at me and see, you didn't get looks either. But I'll tell you what I do have. When I went for Christ, I went all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the last four decades of my life have been absolutely a blast. No. Don't think for a minute, well, if I go all in, that means no fun. Or sometimes people say, well, that means no friendships. I mean, if you go all in for, if I go in all in for Christ in my workplace, whoa. I mean, people are going to, let me tell you. You go all in for Christ, you're going to have the greatest friends you have ever had in your entire life. You know what? I just love the spirit here at Temple Baptist. You know, the greatest people you will ever have as your friends will be believers in Jesus Christ that are all in. Tonight, I stand and tell you that the greatest friends I've ever had are those that are all in. Now, I mean this honestly. I'm not just saying this to patronize. This is a good friend of mine right here. And you know what? This guy's all in. And I love having friends that are all in and that are not halfway. And number three, I'll tell you this. It means, you know, a lot of people think, well, it means no future. Man, if you go all in, that's it, man. All your dreams, all your plans, all your whatever. No. You begin to be fulfilled the will of God for your life when you get all in. So what does it mean then? Glad you asked. It means giving 100%, 100% of the time. You are all in. There is no reserve. There is no retreat. There is no regrets. Take your Bibles and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6 if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 6. If you are a Jewish person in here tonight, you memorize this as the very first passage of Scripture any Jew will memorize in the Hebrew. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5, the Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Listen to verse 5. "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Hey, what's the key word there? It's all. You got to be all in. It isn't like, well, I'm going to love God with part of my life and part of my heart and part of my soul. No. You got to love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul. You got to be all in. It is a focus. It is like nothing else matters. There is, I am all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Will it cost me? Oh, sure. Oh, but God will pay back. Oh, yeah, it'll cost you. Oh, yeah, it'll be a challenge. There'll be times when you go like, you know what? I made a decision that night in October 2nd, 2017. I was at that church, and that night I was all in. Man, has it been a challenge. Oh, it'll be a challenge. Oh, it'll be a cost. But to be all in, man, there is no reserve. There's no retreat, and there's no regrets. It's everything I've got. All of the time for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, the Christian life doesn't work halfway. Well, I got a question for you, Brother Shelley. Why should I do this? Why should I be all in? I got two incredible reasons. Number one, to get God's blessing. And number two, to get God's best. Would you take your Bibles for a moment and turn to 2 Kings chapter 13? This is probably the best passage that will illustrate what I'm trying to talk about tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 13, we have a king that goes over to see a prophet. That sounds like a pretty good deal. The prophet's about to die. His name is Elisha. Can you all help me with that? His name is Elisha. There was a prophet before him. Anyone know what his name was? Elijah. Okay, we had Elijah. Now we have Elisha. Now Elisha's about to die. Hey, you guys remember how Elijah died? He didn't, did he? Okay, Elijah didn't die. He was taken up in a whirlwind. Okay, he was raptured up. Like I believe one day the church will be raptured. Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind in a chariot. But Elisha's going to die. And he was a great prophet. Matter of fact, he did twice the miracles that Elijah did, and he asked for a double portion. Look at 2 Kings chapter 13, begin at verse 14. Let me read you the story. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. So he's on his deathbed. And Joash, the king of Israel, not necessarily a good king at all, came down onto him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And Elisha said unto him, "Take the bow and the arrows." And he took unto him the bow and the arrows. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Put thy hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. So you got this? This guy's at this bow. He's pulling the bow back. And Elisha, old man, comes behind him and puts his hands on both of the king's hands. They're going to pull back the bow together. Look at verse 17. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened the window. Then Elisha said, "Shoot." And he shot an arrow. And he said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance." Okay, I got it. So that was like a picture of God giving me victory, right? Yeah. "And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians at Aphek, till thou hast consumed them." Now listen to the next two verses, folks. This is the kernel of truth you got to get. And he said, "Take the arrows." So apparently there was a quiver full of arrows off to the side. "Take the arrows," and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground." Take the arrows and throw them down on the ground. What? Take the arrows and throw them onto the ground. So he takes an arrow out of the quiver, and he takes it, and he slams it down. Is that all? Takes another arrow, and he slams it down. And Elisha looks, and the king takes one more arrow, and he throws it down. Okay? There's still arrows in the quiver. Listen to what Elisha said. He said, "Take the arrows," and he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, "Smite upon the ground," and he smote thrice, and he stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, "Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hast thou smitten Syria till thou hast consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice." Now I am sure that the king says, "Okay, well, I'll take a few more of those arrows." And no. You had a chance to show if you're all in. And he wasn't completely committed. I am telling you, Temple Baptist, visitors tonight, young people tonight, it doesn't work halfway. Okay, I'll go to church. Okay, I'll go to a Christian school. Okay, I'll do this for God. God says, no. Either you are all in or you're not in. And I want to share with you tonight, folks, you need to say, you know what? I am ready to do this. I have, you know what? I have been sitting on the bench. I need to own it. I need to take it as mine. This is my Christian life, and I'm going to live for God. He is worthy for what he did for me, and I'm going to live it all the way. You know what happens? We live halfway. We do not get the blessings of God. I personally believe this. The most unhappy person on planet Earth is not an unsaved person. I think the most unhappy person on planet Earth is a believer in Christ who is living the Christian life halfway. That they never really experienced the power. They know God. They've tasted the Lord. They're saved. But they are not experiencing Christ in a living way day by day. They still hold on to the world. They're still living between the victorious life in Egypt, and they're just wandering in their Christian life. Let me tell you the second reason. Get God's best. You want God's very best for your life? Then give him your best. Give him what you have, and you get God's very best. I got to tell you a story. We were years ago with my boys, my son got married out in Colorado. We love Colorado. We love vacationing out there. We were vacationing I'm talking like 20 years ago. We were doing tent camping and everything like that. And we were down at a place called Mesa Verde. It's where the Indians lived in the cave, and they lived on, and they grew crops on top of the mountain and everything like that. And we were there that night, and we camped that night. We said, "Oh, we're going to go to Mesa Verde, and we're going to camp there." Well, it was like the lousiest campsite. It was all dirt. There was all people around and everything like that. Well, the next morning when we had our little family altar time in the morning, we had breakfast and we were reading the scriptures. I said, "Boys, Let's pray that the Lord gives us a really cool campsite tonight, okay? Oh, they were like, yeah, Dad, this was really lousy. I said, yeah, well, let's pray. We're going to go up the million-dollar highway, and let's ask the Lord to give us a really nice place. So the boy, I said, so what do you think a really nice place was? So they got real specific. We want to see the mountains in the morning. I said, okay, let's pray. I like that. And Dad, snow on the mountains. I said, okay, that's cool. There's still snow on the mountains. I said, we'll look for that. Dad, I want to see water. I want to be by a lake. I said, okay, let's pray for a camping site by the lake. Dad, and I'll never forget this. Little Luke says, Dad, I want our camping site to be like a postcard. I said, that's a great prayer. Let's pray about it. Let's all pray right now that the Lord will give us a campsite tonight like a postcard. Mountains with snow on it and water, and it's just going to be a beautiful camp. Let's pray about it. So we prayed. We took off, and oh, what a day. We stopped at Silverton. We went to Durango. We did all kinds of stuff on the way up. We stopped and took pictures. It was an absolutely gorgeous day, but it's getting late. We come through a town called Ouray, and we found out about renting Jeeps, and we thought, oh, we're going to do that tomorrow, but we're running late. And I'm looking, I said, guys, we got to get going. We got to find a campsite tonight. So we come out of Ouray, and it's starting to get twilight. It's starting to get dark, and I'm thinking, man, we got to stop somewhere. So there's a KOA. It isn't 5 miles outside of Ouray. There's a KOA campground. And I said, guys, maybe we can stop here tonight. Well, they're all quiet. Nobody's saying a thing. KOA was not what they prayed for, okay? So we pull into the KOA, and they have a spot. It's down by the stream. We didn't pray for a stream, okay? It's down by a stream. It was a good price. I said, hey, it's getting dark. We got to get a fire yet. We haven't cooked dinner yet. We got to get going here, okay? So we pulled on down. Nobody's saying anything in the van. And we pull into the camp thing. We're staking it out. And Ben comes over to me and he says, Dad, yeah, what? Come on, help. Let's get the stuff going. Is this what we prayed for? Well, no, but we've had a really good day today. And Dad, is this what we prayed for? And then my wife says, Jim, this is not what we prayed for. Oh, man. Well, we already paid for the site. It's late at night. We got to, Jim. Oh, man. Well, let me see if I can get the money back. If I can get the money back, I don't know where we're going, but we'll go somewhere else. Oh, I go back. They say, yeah, you got any money back? You haven't set up yet or anything? I'm going, thanks. I get back. I said, let's go. We go about 5, 10, 12 miles, I think it was, from that KOA, and there's a state park. We pull into the state park. It is getting dark now. We pull in the state park. We pick a spot on the thing. They say, here's some open sites. I said, well, I'll take this one. We drive around. We got a little bit lost. That wasn't long, like 3-4 minutes. We went the wrong way around a loop or whatever. And we got our camping spot. We get out. It is dark now. Okay, you cannot see anything. It is dark. We're setting up the camp. I'm not real happy about the whole deal. But, you know, we set up a camp. Guys, this is where we're staying the night, okay? We cook. It's dark. We go to bed. The next morning, if you know anything about my family, Jim always has gotten up first, okay? And my boys are not, and my wife are not morning people, but I am, okay? So I'm up first. I am always get up first. I unzip the tent. It's, I don't know what time it is, but the sun is out. I unzip the tent, and I look out to where we are. And I go, oh, man. Oh, this is unbelievable. And I get my camera, and I take a picture from my tent. I take a picture. And I say, hey, gang, wake up. You got to see this. They get up slowly, and they come over to the tent window, and they go, Dad, there's the mountains. I know. There's the snow on the mountains. I know. Dad, there's a lake right there. I know. Luke said, Dad, it looks like a postcard. I know. And I took a picture from my tent. And this was the picture that I took. This picture is about 20 years old. I took this picture from my tent at that campsite. It was everything we had prayed about, it gets better. That day we drive back to Ouray to rent Jeeps to go up to the Yankee Boy Basin to drive up a Jeep up there, up into the snow and everything like that. I'm signing all the papers for the Jeep, and my wife yells, "Ah!" I go, "What happened? What happened?" And she's standing over by the postcards. And she says, "Jim, come here and look at this." And we go to the little stand where the postcards are, and she pulls out a postcard, and I am telling you, it's the picture from our campsite. She said, "He answered our prayers." And I went, "Boys, don't ever forget, and don't ever listen to your dad, okay? But don't ever forget, you want God's best? Is this what, now listen to me, what's your Christian life looking like right now? Is it what you thought it would be? Is this what your Christian life? You know, Lord, this isn't what I prayed for. Then, my friend, get all in. And get out of your campsite and go to where God has you. You know what? We're satisfied at KOA. We're satisfied with our Christian life. And I want to encourage you, man, go all the way. I am so glad that my son said, "Dad, is this what we prayed for?" Hey, I want to ask you. Your Christian life right now, is it what you thought it was going to be? Is it what you prayed for? You know, it's not, Jim. Well, I don't think the problem's my God. I think the problem is where you're camping. I think you need to be all in for God. And let me just close by just telling you this. You say, "You know, Brother Sharon, we hear messages like this, and you got me all stirred up, and I'm ready to be all in. But how do you do it?" Let me just give you four things really quick. I'm just going to mention them. Number one, here's how you get all in. You have to have a reckoning. You have to have a reckoning. You got to say, in Philippians chapter 3, Paul said, in Philippians chapter 3, he said this, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. I reckoned it loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." You know what you got to do? You got to decide. You know what? The things of this world are not going to mean as much to me as my Lord Christ. You got to have a reckoning. You got to decide. You know what? I'm going to be all out for Christ. Number two, you got to have a response. For me to live as Christ and to die as gain. You got to respond. You got to say, you know what? October 2nd, 2017, I'm 44 years old. And I've been saved for 20 years, but I don't think I've ever been all in. And tonight, I'm making the decision to be all in. Now, there's a lot of teenagers here. And you say, "You know, Brother Sharon, you kind of preached to the teens tonight." No, I did not. Give us some 50-year-olds that have been camping at KOA that would say tonight, "You know what, God? I don't think I've ever been all in at church. I don't think I've ever been all in at soul winning. I don't think I've ever been all in at giving. I don't think I've ever been all in the Christian life. I've been saved for 30 years, but I don't think I've ever been all in." Let tonight, 50-year-old, let tonight be a decision. This summer, God got a hold of my heart with this. I do believe I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was younger. But folks, I just want to share this with you. This summer, I got thinking about this message. And I said, "You know, Jim, I don't know if you've ever been all in. I mean, do it, Jim. If he's worth living for, then go all the way. I'm 60 years old. Let me encourage you tonight to be all in. And if you're a teenager here tonight, what a great time. You're 16 years old. You're 15 years old. You're a 13-year-old. You're a fourth grader tonight and say, "You know what? October 2nd, 2017, I decided I'm going all in for the Lord. I'm not going to live this thing." You got to have a reckoning. You got to have a response. And get this, there's got to be rejection. You have got to experience rejection, and you will. You will not make this decision and not be rejected by the world. You will not make a decision and not be rejected, maybe even by your family and your relatives, but you got to get beyond rejection. You got to say, "No, this is it." Number four, you got to take responsibility. You have got to take responsibility for, if you're going to be all in, you got to say, "I'm owning it." There are some of you that have been members of this church for years, and you don't own anything at this church. You know what? Tonight, let me just share this with you. This is a fabulous illustration of what I'm saying. Miss Lyons got all in. And she took responsibility. You know what? They want to do a school night on Monday night. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put together a Mexican buffet, and I'm going to invite all my parents of all the fourth graders. And you know what? That's being all in, man. That's getting all in and saying, you know what? I'm not going to do this halfway. I'm going to be all in, and I'm going to do it right. I think that's the coolest thing. And then last, if you're going to be all in, you got to take a risk. You got to take the step, man. You got to say, God, this is it. I'm going to take a risk, and I'm going to trust you. As, you know, for some of you, tonight is for your Savior. You need to take the risk and say, I'm trusting my God. I can't get to heaven on my own. I'm trusting in Jesus Christ. For some of you believers, you need to take a step tonight. Maybe God's calling you into full-time service tonight. Maybe God's calling you to do something and you've kind of held back. You need to get all in tonight and you need to take a risk. I close with this story. Back in the early 1960s, the communist China was taking over all the islands in Indonesia. And they were taking over one island after another. At that time, Indonesia was a British Commonwealth. And the Brits knew that they could not defeat the communists in these jungles of these islands. But there was a group of Indians that lived, that were nationals. They were natives of these islands in Indonesia. They were called the Gurkhas Indians. They were fierce warriors. And one day the British commander came to the chief of the Gurkhas tribes. And he said, would you be willing to fight for us and fight with us so we could get the communists out of the islands? Would you be willing to join with us and fight? We want to take your soldiers and we want to drop them into the jungles from the airplanes so that they could fight because your men are such great warriors. Will you join us? The chief of the Gurkhas tribes looked at the British commander. He thought for a long time and then he said, no, we will not fight. Boy, the British commander said, man, that's our last hope. The next day, the chief came back and he told the British commander, we will fight. But you must do two things for my warriors. Oh, whatever, man. You tell us. Number one, you must slow the airplanes down as slow as possible. And number two, you must fly the airplanes as low as they can go over the tops of the trees. And the British commander said, well, sir, both of those things are impossible. First of all, the planes have to keep a certain speed in order for them to stay flying. So they're going to be going very fast. And number two, they got to be at a certain altitude so that the parachutes will open up. And the Gurkhas chief said, parachutes? What are those? Do you know what he thought? He thought his warriors were going to jump out of that plane into that jungle, flying right over the top of them. And they were willing to take that risk. I'll tell you when you're all in. You're all in when you don't know there's a parachute. You're all in when you say, God, I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what's going to happen. But God, I'm trusting in you. I'm all in, Lord. Lord, whether there's a parachute or not, I'm going to trust you and I'm all in. Moms and dads, would you be all in on your family? Would you be all in on your marriage? Oh man, I got to tell you, we've got so many people that keep using the D word. Let that D word stop tonight. No divorce. We're all in on this thing, man. We're just, this is until death do us part. We're all in on church. Some of you, do you realize you guys have an incredible staff here. Temple Baptist is ready to go forward. You know what we need? We need some Temple Baptist members tonight. They'll grab a hold of pastor's hand and say, you know what? I'm all in. Enough of this halfway stuff, man. I'm all in. I'm ready to grow. I'm ready to go. And then there's some people in this room tonight that need to say, you know what? I am all in for Jesus Christ as my Savior. He was all in for you, friend. He was all in for you on that cross. Do you believe that? Are you willing to trust Him tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You want God's very best for your life? Stop camping at KOA, man. Pull up your tent pegs tonight and say, you know what, God? This is not the life that I prayed for. But it's because I'm not all in for you. The problem isn't with you, God. The problem is with me. I have lived this Christian life halfway. And tonight, I am ready to live this Christian life all in. And I want to ask tonight, first of all, how many people are in this auditorium right now that would say, Jim, I do believe that there was a time that I called upon the name of the Lord to be my Savior. And I believe I trusted completely in Him. Like you jumped in that chair, I jumped in God's arms. I know that I am saved, not because I have done one thing right. I know that I'm saved because Jesus Christ did everything right, and He took my place. Jim, I was in my teens, I was in my 20s, I was in my 30s. But Jim, I trusted Christ with all of my heart to be saved. I know that I'm going to heaven, not because I've lived a good life, but because Christ took my place and He lived the perfect life. Jim, I was all in for salvation and I called upon Christ as my Savior. If that's true, would you raise your hand all over the auditorium? You could say, I trusted the Lord and I know that I'm saved. Praise God. What a sight. What a sight. Thank you so much. I'm coming back to you in just a minute, okay? All of you that just got your hands up, you can put them down. If you're here tonight and you would say, Jim, I didn't know what to expect tonight. I'm a guest here tonight. But Jim, honestly, before God, I don't think that I've ever trusted Christ. Tonight I need to take a step of faith. I need to believe what Christ did for me. It's not about what I've done. It's about what He's done, and I don't think I've ever trusted in Him by faith alone. And tonight, in faith, I would like to ask Jesus Christ to be my Savior. I would like to trust Him. I do not want to embarrass you, and I will not embarrass you, but I would love to pray for you. Is there anyone, man, woman, child, young person tonight, that would say, Jim, I don't think I've ever trusted Christ as my Savior. Tonight, I want to trust the Lord. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. And I want to trust Him with all of my heart for my salvation, to forgive me of my sins. If that's your heart tonight, would you quietly lift up your hand right now in this auditorium? Could I see it for just a moment? Is there anyone like that? Is there anyone like that at all? Amen. Thank you. Is there anyone else? You know what? I would like to trust Christ tonight as my Savior. I've never done it. I'll wait just a minute. It's the biggest decision you ever make. Will you be all in and trusting Christ? Tonight, I want to ask you something. You're a teenager tonight? I hope you make a decision tonight. I'm all in, man. My life is Christ. I am doing this thing. I'm 16 years old. I'm 15. And I'm going all in. This is the night. I am not going to live a Christian life halfway. I know I've got a, Lord willing, I got a life in front of me, but I want to live it all in. I hope there's some teenagers tonight that would say, I'm ready. But I will tell you, I hope there's some single adults in here tonight. I hope there's some people in their 20s and 30s that would say, you know what? I'm all in. I hope there's some moms and dads, some husbands and wives that would say tonight, this is it. We are all in for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bring your spouse down to an altar and say, hey, let's do it, man. Let's live for God. It doesn't matter the rejection we get. Let's take the risk. Let's be all in, man. I don't want to camp here any longer. I want God to do something special in my life. I've always believed that God's got something for me. Now I need to be all in to get it. Are you ready? Can you say tonight, this is the night? How many of you tonight with an upraised hand would say, Jim, tonight I want to be all in for my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean it tonight. I am all in. If that's you, would you raise your hand tonight? You mean it with all of your heart. Praise God for that. I'm going to give you a chance. In just a moment, we're going to stand to our feet. We're going to have an invitation. And you mean it. By the way, if it's all in about the church, come out and shake pastor's hand. Say, Pastor, I'm all in. I've been halfway in this church, man. I want to be all in. I want God to do something special at Temple. I want to be all in. Maybe it's your life. Maybe it's your marriage tonight. Boy, it'd be great to see some couples down here tonight. Some moms and dads that say, you know what? Let's do this all in. Let's not do this halfway. Let's do our marriage. Let's do our family. Let's do it for God. Let's do it all the way for the Lord. If that's your heart's desire, I pray that you'll respond. Let's stand to our feet. God spoke to your heart. As soon as you hear the music begin to play, you come. God spoke to your heart. You come. Say, you know what? Tonight, I'm all in. This is it, man. I'm giving it all to God. You come.